This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Folks, welcome to This Week in the NFL, Week 3. I'm your host, back from the infirmary, the cowboy, Roger, joined by my co-host, who I don't know if he's happy to have me back or not. He got to get to do the show with some big shot, I heard, last week, but joined by John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Pretty good, buddy. We struggled without you, but we got through it. Thankfully, Place to Be Nation has a very deep bullpen, unlike our favorite baseball team. Place to Be Nation is like the Yankees. They got six closes in there that we could pull off anytime and salvage the show. But glad to have you back. Glad you're feeling all right.
I appreciate it. I lost my voice. I was sick and I lost my voice. So I was able to watch all the games and everything. Like, I was all right, but it just wouldn't have been good for a podcast for me to have no voice. So the voice has come back. So here I am, man of the people, giving the people what they want.
Yep, and so far after 2 weeks, right about now, I wish I didn't have a voice, because it's gonna be tough to get through the major news of the week, but I'll struggle through it.
Great segue, John. Well, on the bright side, we're 3 weeks, 2 weeks into the NFL season. It's our favorite time of year. Sundays are fun, Mondays are fun, Thursdays are kind of fun, so that's good. To your point, let's dive into some of the big news we have right now. And really, I mean, there's a lot of big stories, but one of the bigger ones, and since it's a team that we do kind of focus on here, the Eli Manning era comes to an end, for all intents and purposes, in New York. Shermer announced a couple days ago that Daniel Jones would be starting this week's game, and Eli's going to be relegated to the backup role. Jones looked good in the preseason. The team starts 0-2. Looks like they're not going anywhere. I don't necessarily blame Eli for the 0-2 either, for what it's worth. I didn't think he was that bad. But it is what it is. You got to see what you got with the number 6 pick in the draft, right? So we'll see what he's got. John, give me your thoughts.
I think it was a last gasp effort. They looked at the schedule and they thought, that maybe with Eli in there, they got a shot at 3-1 with Tampa and Washington coming up and the Buffalo game, which they already lost. And I think they were looking at that in the preseason and saying, if Eli gets through a 3-1, and we'll keep him in there until they fall out of it. But they could see it was going to fall apart quick, because especially without Shepard and Tate, an ill-timed suspension for Golden Tate, because these first four games, three of them are winnable, but it didn't work out like that. So it went down fast. And as soon as the game was over, Sherman said, "We got to look into the quarterback." And once he said that, if he had said and stuck with Eli, that would have been even horrendous, because he just put all the onus, on him, and he was going to get hounded about the decision. So as soon as he said that, the writing was on the wall. And unfortunately, it's about 3-4 years too late. The Giants were definitely not proactive in the most important position on the field, and unfortunately, they fell into a trap where those two Super Bowls kind of hurt them. If Eli didn't have those Super Bowls under his pillow, that they would have pulled the plug on him, I'm sure, earlier. But right. they gave him a lot of rhythm because of that, and unfortunately, it's led to the last 4 or 5 years of being non-competitive. And I'm glad you said that. It's not totally his fault. Now it's another good thing, because he was number one on the list of problems, and the Giants have about 30 problems on the list. And especially these first 2 weeks, as soon as the loss comes up, it's like, oh, they got to get rid of Eli. Yeah. They got to get him out of there. And now everybody else has got to step up, including the head coach, and a lot of these high picks that were highly touted from the GM. The defense has to step up now.
Yeah, I mean, having watched the first two games, I mean, my takeaway was, their offense wasn't great, but it wasn't awful. the defense was really, really bad. I mean, against the Cowboys, I mean, they put up no resistance at all. I didn't get to talk about this last week because I was sick. And then, I mean, Buffalo's not exactly a high-powered offense. And once they got going, they were just up and down the field the whole game. So, I mean, I really kind of hang those losses on the defense. But with that said, if you're not going to make the playoffs, which they're probably not, right? And Eli certainly wasn't lighting the world on fire. I think it does make sense, especially since the kid looked good in the preseason. If the kid looked like a deer in the headlights who wasn't ready, then I think they would have waited a little while to make the move. But since he looked good, I think it makes sense to see what you got with him. To your point, it would be helpful if he had a full cachet of weapons. Like, it looks like Shepard's probably going to play this week. But without him and Tate, I mean, the number one receiver is like Benny Fowler, who's like barely in the NFL. So, I mean, obviously they have Engram and Barkley, and that's helpful. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I think they have a winnable game this week. Like, it wouldn't surprise if Jones is serviceable. Tampa, I mean, hasn't impressed me. I mean, I know they got the win against my poor Panthers last Thursday, but they have not impressed me at all. Like, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Giants went in there and won that game, especially kind of rallying around the new quarterback.
And another big factor was the kind of the malaise of the stadium. I mean, this was their home opener, and that was a dead crowd. Like, when the defense did manage a couple stops, and then Eli drove him to what's probably going to be his last touchdown pass, they made it 21-14, and you figure, like, the crowd would be pumped up and force, like, a defensive stop, but there was nothing. That crowd's dead. There's just a malaise in the stadium. It's been that way for the past few years, so they figure that with the new quarterback in there, maybe that'll juice some of the crowd, because right now it's a dead franchise. So many horrible decisions have set this franchise back, and now they're one of the laughing stocks of the league, and in the lower five. They're in the basement. They got to work their way out of it. So this is the first step.
Agreed. It's a tough run so far for both of those New York teams, which we could get into. So big news there. Do you think they get a shot this week? I think they get a shot this week.
I don't. Last week I praised because we did the show after the Thursday, so we already discussed the Thursday night game, me and Justin, and I praised the Tampa Bay's defense, which is very improved under Todd Bowles, who's one of those guys that, you know, looks like he's going to be a great coordinator. Might not get another shot as a head coach, but with Shaq Barrett, who's become a force on defense with the pass rush, so Tampa's kind of got some defensive teeth. So I don't see the Giants. And the main thing is, if you force Jameis into a couple turnovers, but the Giants have forced zero turnovers so far this year. The defense hasn't even come close to being larcenous. So I don't see it.
You got to make them throw. I mean, the way they beat the Panthers is, yeah. I mean, Peyton Barber was good. I mean, Jameis game managed that game. Oh. I mean, and they won, which was good. I mean,
yeah,
they're playing against a quarterback that couldn't throw it 15 yards downfield. That would have been helpful. But but if the Giants can force them to throw, can stop the run and force them to throw, Jameis is going to give it up. I mean, he's going to make some good plays, but he's going to give it up a couple of times. He's like similar to like a Baker Mayfield, right? You know you're getting one or two.
It's tough. The Giants haven't been able to stop anything. That first game was an embarrassment. Dak Prescott's uniform was cleaner after the game than it was before the game. They didn't even come close to him. And not good so far. There's a lot of highly touted picks, like DeAndre Baker and Lorenzo Carter, both from the University of Georgia. And right now, the way they're playing, I'd have them declared ineligible. So suck it, Chad Campbell and Nick Duke. Your boys aren't doing anything.
Gotta talk to those guys about that.
I'm just kidding. A lot of that's coaching. They got to be put in a spot to do things. So I'm not going to give up on them soon. But right now, they're not making anything happen on the field.
Yeah. And then, so moving on, and we'll make some picks and stuff later. But moving on, there's some other big news this week. We have two giant quarterback injuries. Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, done for the year. And Drew Brees done for 6 weeks. So let's talk about the Saints first, since I think they're probably the team that's still relevant. I think Pittsburgh's probably in a tank job kind of mode now with Mason Rudolph in there. Looks like, although it's not official, it looks like Teddy Bridgewater is most likely gonna take over as the starter. Sean Payton did kind of leave it up in the air today, talking about maybe Taysom Hill. I think it'll be Teddy Bridgewater. Do you think he can keep them afloat to where they can still make the playoffs? They're 1-1. They probably should be 0-2. I said they weren't going to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year. I'm feeling good about it, John. I'm feeling like a Nostradufus.
Yeah, it's great. You're patting yourself on the back. I'll remind you of your 8 shitty predictions that don't look so good so far. Give us time.
I got the Saints, and I got Buffalo. I got Buffalo, too. We're hot there.
But I think Bridgewater can he proved to be a good, a decent game manager, and he gets the first downs with his feet, and I think he's gonna hold the fourth down, and keep him. He'll go 4-2 during these 6 games, and he'll keep him in the hunt.
I thought he played like shit this week, which is I know it's tough coming. I mean, it's a tough defense to come in against on the road, and. You know, it's always tough when you haven't been taking the first team reps in practice, so that'll help them. So let's run down, let's take a look at their schedule while he is out. So we have, this week they're in Seattle. It's a pretty tough game.
Yeah, Seattle got so far they got a nice break with the schedule. The easy first game was the Bengals, Big Ben goes down, and now they get a breezeless Saints. That's a good look for Seattle.
Yep, and then they have Dallas in New Orleans Sunday night football. So yeah. that's another tough game. Then it gets considerably easier after that. Home for Tampa, at Jacksonville, at Chicago, which is not an easy game, and then home for the Cardinals, and then their bye week. And I'm assuming they can get Breeze back week 10. So I can see. Excuse me, still a little under the weather. I can see 4-2, but I think in order to do that, they got to steal one of these two, either at Seattle or home for Dallas.
Yeah, that's gonna be rough. I'd lean more towards 3-3, which puts them at 4-4, and doesn't kill them, because I don't think anyone's running away in that division. So even 4-4, they'll be straight.
You got to think that at Jacksonville, at Chicago, without Breeze, they're going to lose one of those games. Probably at Chicago. I mean, that's a, you know, as bad as that offense has looked, they are still a formidable team.
Jacksonville without Foles is not too formidable, and they got a chaos going on there. Your boy Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, you know, I don't think that's formidable at all. Like, I like the Titans big. Marone, they should probably fire. I mean, the team just all out quit on him after like 8 weeks last year, and now.
Yeah, you already got a mutiny with your boy Jalen Ramsey. I know you like him, but.
He's a great player.
Yeah, there was a play in that game where he made a perfect break on the ball, and he could have took one to the house, and he dropped it, of course, you know. So these guys with their big mouths can't always back it up. He's also
a
talented player.
He also held DeAndre Hopkins to 40 yards. I mean, he's probably I think he's the best cornerback in football. Like as far as a Darrell Revis type shadow corner, I think he's the best one in football. They want 2 first round picks for him, and I think they're going to get it. It'd be real interesting to see where he goes. Kansas City is the talk. That would be a heck of a addition for them.
I see him fitting in with the Raiders next year.
I don't think he's going to Oakland.
He's a Gruden type guy. He just wants to get paid. I don't think he cares about winning.
I don't think he's going. I think they're. I mean, whoever trades for him now, they're going to give up so much to get him that they're going to have to back up the Brinks truck. I know he showed up to camp in the Brinks truck this year. So I don't think the Raiders are going to give up two first-round picks for him after the shit they just went through with Antonio. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I don't put him at the Brown quite level, but he's getting there. He's going after his coach and stuff.
Yeah. Of all the teams, right? I mean, they just hit. He's not like Antonio Brown. I mean, he's not crazy, but
yeah. But demanding a trade after week two, it's like, come on. I think these cornerbacks are starting to take over for the wide receivers as the big diva position. You saw Fitzpatrick.
It's Fitzpatrick. Been that way. Revis was like this. You know, Deion Sanders was like this. All the great, great ones.
Stupid Jenkins on the Giants throws his whole defensive line under the bus. You know, just the disasters all around.
But, yeah, real interesting to see where he ends up. And I think to your point, John, the saving grace for the Saints, I know we called you had called the AFC South your 8-8 division.
The NFC South.
It could be the NFC South. I mean, who's the best team in that? I mean, I guess it's the Saints. I don't know if it's the Saints without Bridgewater. Atlanta got a nice win to save their season on Sunday night. They played
Nelson
well.
Nelson Aguilar saved their season.
It was a drop. He did drop the ball. All part of the game. The Panthers are essentially dead and buried. I think Cam. You know, when I was very high on them coming into the season, but you got to know when to cut bait. A big reason I was high on them was that I thought Cam Newton was back to being Cam Newton, and I don't know how you feel, but I think maybe that Cam Newton's gone forever. I think he's a Cam Newton that doesn't run and make plays with his legs is just a really inaccurate pocket passer that doesn't do a whole lot for you. So they're you know, I think it's a lost season for them. Like, he's probably not isn't even going to play this week.
Yeah, he's put in so many miles running over linebackers, and you saw where there was only 1 yard they needed in that game, and they went with McCaffrey. They didn't even go to him. So that was a point your fill-in made last week, too, that it looks like he's going to either have to adjust his game or the Panthers aren't going to be a force.
He's not. I mean, he's just never been real accurate. You know, he's not the kind of guy that can just go back there and pick a defense apart. It's just not his game. I think he's going to end up, you know, retired in the next 2 years would be my guess. So we'll see there. Sad. Great player. Great, 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 great player. I hope I'm not right about that. But all the signs point to him just not being the same guy. Now, talking Roethlisberger, they're already 0-2. Awful minus 32 point differential at 0-2. And they lose Big Ben. Pretty much, it looks like the Ravens are the best team in that division.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, but I would disagree with as far as the Steelers like tanking. They're still going to go for it.
Oh, I don't think they'll purposely tank. I just mean that I think you can put a fork in them.
Yeah, Rudolph looked good in what little he played when he came in there. So
he did.
They still got a great offensive line, and they just got to shore up the receivers other than Juju. Moncrief's dropping balls. I guess a lot of them are feeling the pressure to fill in for Antonio. But, their defense, the Steelers, has been disappointing. I thought it would be more improved. But they had two tough first games, two of the best teams. So I still think they got a shot at 9 wins in a wild card.
Well, let's see. I mean, they have to win this week then. You can't start 0-3, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're in San Francisco. It's a winnable game. That's a winnable game for Pittsburgh. If they're a real team, they can win that game. So it'll be interesting because the Niners looked good last week. I know the Bengals are not a great defense, but Jimmy G seemed to kind of figure some things out and played a really good game.
Yeah, that also their ground game was impressive. Mostert and
Jeff Wilson and Breda.
Yes.
Yeah, that's without Tevin Coleman. So they had Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon are both hurt, and the ground game's still good. Kyle Shanahan, you know, has his flaws, but He does know how to establish the run and get production out of the running back position. Everywhere he's gone, no matter who the back is, they've always produced.
Yeah, but I think the Steelers are going to pull through with their first W on the road.
All right. I think they're cooked, and I don't think Mason Rudolph can win on the road. So we'll see.
All right.
So talking about some of the marquee matchups this week. Biggest game of the week. Great, great game. I can't wait for this game. Baltimore at Kansas City. Lamar Jackson has been super duper impressive so far. Throwing the football. As well as running. I mean, he ran for 120 something yards last week too, but I mean, he looks to me to have really made a leap. I know that Miami and Arizona are not exactly the 85 Bears, so he's not going to do what he's done the last 2 weeks every week. But Kansas City's defense is probably right about on par with with Miami and Arizona. And you know that Kansas City is going to be able to throw on Baltimore. Kyler Murray threw for 360 or so yards last week. So this could be a super shootout, which I know is not your favorite kind of game to watch, John, but you have to like it. I mean, these are not just two shitty teams shooting out. It's two of the five best teams in the league. It's a very, very exciting game.
Yeah. Jackson got a nice first three games with three of the worst defenses in the league to boost his confidence. But, I think Kansas City is going to win going away here. Their new weapons are starting to step up, like McCole Hardman, giving Mahomes other options, and their defense will get a couple stops, but I don't think it's going to be that close. I think those two softer early games for Baltimore are going to hurt them here, because this has been a major step up in competition.
See, I like Kansas City as well, but I think it's going to be like a real close game. Like, I don't think it'll quite be at that level of the Rams Chiefs game last year, but I think it's going to be one of those 35-31 kind of deals where Mahomes pulls it out in the fourth quarter. I don't see the Chiefs stopping the Ravens too much, because the Chiefs are kind of not good against the run or the pass. So the way Jackson's playing and Mark Ingram's been really good, the Ravens' offensive line's been really good. Their tight end, Mark Andrews, has been doing a Gronk impression the last 2 weeks. Like, I just don't see Kansas City stopping them too much. And then on the other side of the ball, the Ravens' defense is, they're very, very well regarded. But just like last year, you can beat them through the air. They're great against the run. You can beat them through the air. And, I mean, Mahomes is obviously, like, the worst guy in the whole NFL to face if you can get beat through the air. And I agree. Hardman and Robinson have stepped up with Tyreek Hill injured. It looks like they might be without both their running backs in this one, too. Damian Williams and Shady. So it'll be another rookie there, if that's the case. Darwin Thompson. It seems like with the system, that it doesn't matter. So until they show me that these injuries matter and it impacts them, I'm rolling with it. It doesn't matter who the guys are out there. That Mahomes and Reed and Andy Reid's system is just that good that it doesn't really matter who he's throwing to. That it's gonna work out. But great game. I think it's gonna be a super fun game to watch.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with the Lamar Jackson's not just his running ability, but his ability to kind of like Russell Wilson to avoid the contact and be able to stay on the field and help his team.
Oh, for sure. Because you look at a guy. I mean, he's not that big, and you look at another guy, right? Like Deshaun Watson, who's a great, great player. But, I mean, he gets the living shit beaten out of him every single game. And I know some of it's the offensive line, but Jackson uses that escapability to not take hits, right? And he runs out of bounds, and he's not trying to run over linebackers and things like that. It's a great point, John. He's the just like Wilson. He's got that agility, and he can use that to not take these big hits that other guys take, and that's what he does, which is very impressive. Very impressed with the kid. And Hollywood, I didn't mention Hollywood, but he gives them a dimension that they didn't have last year. He's like a true game breaker and kind of guy who every time he touches it can take it to the house. So, you know, playing defense against them, I think they can – I mean, last year you just be able to put nine guys in the box and stop the run. You can't do that this year. And Ingram and Jackson are killing people with their legs. And if you do put nine guys in the box, they have Hollywood and Andrews who can beat you long. And Lamar's been on point. So for a week three game, I think it's just a phenomenal game, the way those two teams have looked. But we both like the Chiefs. And I'll probably keep picking the Chiefs until they prove me wrong and lose, because they seem to kind of be on a mission this year. What were you thinking at the beginning of the Chiefs game last week, John, when the Raiders jumped out 10-0? Any fear at all?
I was thinking upset.
I wouldn't have come on the show. I would have quit. I was like, my Panthers are 0-2, and these assholes are going to beat the Chiefs. But luckily, I think that 10 was just about it for the old Raiders. The Chiefs D really clamped down on Carr and the boys.
I think they figured out Gruden's intense offense after that 10 points.
So, a few more good games this week. I think Houston at the Chargers, that's a big game for both teams. The Chargers, was that not like the most Chargers loss? How the hell do they lose that game? Every year they lose two or three games like that. I mean, they no business losing that game.
13-10. I mean, first of all, to score only 10 points against Fatricia's Lions, that's an embarrassment right there. But Rivers, it's on the 30-yard line. There's plenty of time. A field goal still ties, gets you in overtime. He throws it into double coverage. Just a horrible interception. I hate I always rail against the guys that stress on one play, but that's a play right there where the quarterback killed him. That's a throw you can't make. 13-10, a field goal still ties you up and gets you to overtime.
And you're the better team.
Yeah, that was an egregious.
When you're the
throw.
Better team, you want the tie, like, right? I mean, you make sure you get the tie. It's not like,
yeah, you get the tie and you give it to Stafford, and he'll make a throw like that and take you home. Jeez, man.
But and then the team they're playing, Houston, that was not a very impressive. I know a impressive performance against Jacksonville. I mean, they barely got away with their lives. The stash Gardner Minshew takes the Jaguars down the field, scores the touchdown at the end. What do you think of Marone going for it, going for two?
Nah, I like it.
I liked it in that
situation.
I like it.
Maybe not the play. I mean, it's easy to say that now because it didn't work. But maybe go. You see, Minshew has got a little run, and you know, maybe have him roll him out a little instead of handing off. But I like that he went for it. Once again, I referred to it earlier. If Ramsey wants to be you know, the game breaker that he is, he makes that interception and takes it to the house like a Richard Sherman or the elite cornerbacks would do a few years ago.
Agreed. I think going for two was the right call there too. Kind of for the same reason I just talked about. They weren't the better team in that game, right? So if you have a play from 3 yards out, you try to win the game right now. I liked it. Denver did the same thing. It ended out not winning the game, but story for another day. So who do you like here? I think Houston is feisty, but ultimately, and I mean, I'll hold my nose as I say this because I could see the Chargers giving this game away too. But I like the Chargers at home.
Yeah, I'll go with the Chargers at home. But once again, the Chargers do enough that there was a golden opportunity for the Chargers to be a 3-0.
Right. And, you know, and I mean, every year.
Yeah, Rivers might be, what do you guys call, sneaky overrated?
I say sneaky, yeah, sneaky something. So he would be sneaky overrated or, yeah.
I mean, he's got to win a big game before his career ends. I mean, he'll probably be a Hall of Famer and all that, but and I haven't seen him pull a big game out on the road
or at home.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
He was the quarterback on the team that the Patriots beat, right? The Tom Winston team where that went 14-2. The Patriots went in there and beat in the playoffs.
Thomason cried like a baby. Oh my God! Please,
the better team didn't win.
Your boys did the Merriman shake all over Chargers Field.
Speaking of my boys, that's a good segue. So, no, it wasn't a competitive game, but the Patriots defense still hasn't given up a touchdown this year, which is pretty impressive. They have the Jets coming to town. The Jets with Luke Falk playing quarterback. So, I think
If you go back to last year, that's three games in a row without a touchdown.
Yep. So, very good chance to make it four. I saw the line. The line opened at like 23.5 for this one. So that's like, you know, the Jets in Miami are making things look like college in that respect. But instead of talking about the matchup, because I think we probably both agree with how that will go, Antonio Brown made his first appearance as a Patriot. They clearly tried to force feed him when he was in there in the first half. He played a good first half, had some miscommunications in the second half. I mean, the offense looked pretty deadly with him in there. I mean, do you see anything that's going to stop a New England, Kansas City, AFC title game? It seems like they're destined for that rematch, to me at least.
The only thing...
Injury?
Maybe if... Yeah, that offense, they got that offensive line situation.
What's that
position? Yeah, what is that position? That's left tackle or
correct. Yes.
Yeah, that's the only thing that they're down to about their fourth stringer there. That even the great Dante Scarnecchia, even he might not be able to clean that up. That's the only thing, because you saw even in that first half they did struggle a little. Miami had that game. It was about 13-0 for a long time, right?
Yep. Yeah, before they broke it open.
Yeah, and actually it was the two defensive touchdowns that kind of made the game a mockery. But for a while there, Miami was one score from making it a game. So
they were hanging in.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean the defense played great. But yeah, so. I mean, as a Pats fan, I'm pretty excited. I do worry about them peaking early, which has happened in the past for the Patriots, where they, you know, it's almost like I don't want them to be, you know, beating everybody 50-0 at the beginning of the year. It brings back memories of the perfect season with that loss that was the worst day in my history as a sports fan.
Yeah, but with all the. With all the nonsense with Brown and all that, an understated story is Bills calling the plays on defense, and look how that's turning out.
He is the man. What a genius!
Yeah. But so will they be able to avoid? There's always a stretch like the past few years. There's always a stretch of like four or five games where the defense struggles and gives up, you know, 20, 30 points, and all the so-called Patriot fans say that it's the worst defense in NFL history, and this guy should be cut, and this guy is terrible. Will we see that stretch again this year? Or?
They have the easiest schedule, like, in the history of the NFL. I mean, do you know? So they have the Jets, home for the Jets, at Buffalo, at Washington, home for the Giants, at the Jets. That's week 7. I mean, at Buffalo is like very clearly the toughest game they have. Even week 8's home for Cleveland. So that's a win. Excuse me. It does get tougher after that. Week 9 at Baltimore, then their bye week.
Yeah, 10. That stretch. That one stretch is
at Philly, home for Dallas, at Houston, home for Kansas City. So you have 5 games in a row there that are more difficult. But then the schedule makers were nice. They closed with at Cincy and then home for Buffalo and home for Miami.
My God.
So, I mean, I guess in some respects, I mean, they're not really. I guess Buffalo's playing well. And I did say I think they could make the playoffs this year. And I think that's kind of coming to fruition. They're we've talked about this offline. We like Allen. I think he's a good quarterback. But so I guess at Buffalo, especially if Buffalo is favored this week, if Buffalo can beat Cincy this week, then they come in. It's, you know, 2-3-0 teams. Pretty interesting game. But other than that, I mean, at Washington's a bye week. Home for the Giants is a bye week. At the Jets is a bye week. I mean, so it's like they're not real. It's like they're not really getting tested. You know what I mean?
I think if Darnold's back and the Jets defense healthy, they'll give you guys a game.
Oh, they're bad. Come on, I think they're bad. Even with him, I think they're bad. He should be back by then. He's supposed to be back week 5. But I think they're a year away, John, the old Jets. I like the moves they make. I like it's like they can't move the ball. They weren't moving it with him, but maybe it's cuz he had mono. Right?
They lost the defense is going to be above average then. And they lost a couple big dogs and they pretty much held Cleveland down until towards the end, where Beckham just got that tack-on touchdown. So it's rough to judge in 2 games, especially when a team gets slaughtered by injuries like that. But we'll see.
So I'll give you a team. Cleveland sneaky sucks. I watched both of their games. I mean, Mayfield's not playing well. He played awful in the first game, and I thought he played terrible against the Jets too. I mean, he had the one big play. I mean, that was all Beckham. It was a freaking 10-yard slant.
Yeah, but I think Myles Garrett is going to be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year.
He's a super stud.
Yeah,
and their corners are really good. So their defense is good, but. I mean, their offense is where what everybody talked about at the beginning of the year, and I watched them. I think it looks disjointed. I think he's forcing throws. I mean, and he's just a kid, but I feel like it's a little maybe like expectations, like too much too soon.
Sure, and Landry's been quiet so far. How long is he going to be quiet? Because he's not getting any play.
I know. Beckham's his best friend, so that could help. But if they start losing, watch out. Speaking of which, that's another game. We have a Sunday Night Football, Rams at Browns. I like the Rams to go in there and kick the shit out of them.
I have to agree with you. Maybe the Browns will keep it close, but I like the Rams, the way that defense has been playing. Especially.
I like them big. I like them real big. I like embarrassing big, like almost like what the Titans did in Cleveland. I'm telling you, I was like really unimpressed with the Browns in that Monday night game. I mean, they were essentially playing a team that didn't have an offense. And they talk about letting them hang around.
It was 13-3 for a while, where if the Jets could have got a break, they could have got within one score. But
and I mean,
yeah,
the final numbers look good. I mean, Beckham was incredible, right? He made the one-handed catch, and I mean, he had the 90-yard touchdown. But yeah. I mean, those were all him, and he also, you know, at the end of the half had the. Ugh. He gets hit. He's down. I mean,
you
he's
beat
not,
me to it.
He's a little made of glass. You know, I mean, you can talk about this.
Well, you beat me to it. They had to settle for a field goal at the end of the half because he had an issue with his helmet, his visor, unauthorized helmet or something. And then also he was dehydrated because he doesn't drink enough water. It's like, you know, big issue. I mean, it was only the Jets. They had that game in hand. But if they want to be a playoff team, you know, there's always like an issue. I've seen it for years with the Giants. There's always an issue like that keeps them. Of course, he got that tack-on touchdown and the highlight one-hand catch, and you know that's all anyone sees. But there's also bad stuff too that is going to hold them back. And looking ahead to Cleveland, got the Rams, then at Ravens and at San Francisco, and then Seattle at home. So.
Oh yeah, no.
Stretch.
I saw their schedule. They could be 1-5. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think they'll get 2-4. I think they'll get 2-4.
Even still, 2-4. That's well below expectations. And I'm telling you, you got some big personalities in that.
And then after the bye at New England and Denver, yeah, that's a tough. They got a tough schedule.
They do. This is a tough game. The Rams, I feel, have been kind of flying under the radar a little bit. But I thought they played a great game against New Orleans, and this is exactly the kind of game where I think the Rams are an upper echelon team. I think there's a few upper echelon teams in the league where the whole home road thing isn't a huge deal, depending on who they're playing. And I think they're that team. And I think McVay will scheme so that Garrett doesn't just destroy them. I think he's good enough offensive mind for that. And I think the Rams defense is going to eat that Cleveland offense for lunch. I do. I think like two or three turnovers from Mayfield. I think you're going to have angry Odell. I hope I'm wrong, because it's good for the league to have a nice young team like the Browns, who are up and coming. But I feel like they're a team, like when the going gets tough, they're not exactly going to rise to the occasion. I think you saw that in week one. I think it's kind of the way they're built. They got a lot of me guys.
Yeah,
Mayfield's a me guy. Right? He's got a little bit of an attitude. Kind of, I don't know. I sound like you, John. I sound like the old curmudgeon.
They are me guys, but like with Odell too. You always say, I agree with you. He wants to win, but these youngsters, they don't know how to go about it. I don't know if I don't know if winning is the top priority. You know, besides making sure your watch fits correctly, and after those 10 other things, then he wants to win.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing he really hasn't shown in his career is, if you're when the going's tough, right? When you're down, when your record's not good, right? To be able to kind of keep going or push even harder, he hasn't done that. I mean, he just hasn't done that. So we'll see. So you like the Rams there too, but in a bit of a closer game?
Yeah, but overall, I love the Rams' defense. Most of the publicity goes to McVay and Gurley and Goff, and a dynamic offense, but their defense under the radar, and they've added Clay Matthews, who he's not an every down guy anymore, but he comes in on passing downs, and he can still get to the quarterback. So. Great. It's a nice addition for them.
All right, so we have a few more games to talk about, but before that, John, if you don't mind taking a little break, I'd like to tell the folks about all the other stuff we have going on here at Place to Be Nation. You good with that?
Oh, let's do it. I'll chime in on the ones I listen to and give my recommendations.
Perfect. Yeah. I want honest feedback, good and bad.
all podcasts on the PTBN network are recommended, but. I'll give you the Jade stamp of approval on a couple.
All right. So I'm going to talk about the Pop feed first. So first off, you want to check out our weekly shows. Hard Traveling Fanboys welcome Russell Sellers to the show for a review of the new DC animated film Batman, Hush, with an exclamation point. Flash fact, Russell and Todd continue Flash Month on DC4U with a look at the 1990 pilot episode of The Flash. A brand new show joins the Pop feed as siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother-Sister Rewatch podcast. On episode 16, they bring you The Office Season 3, episodes 3 and 4. Hey, this week in the NFL, it's weekly as well, as all everybody listening knows. With myself and Johnny, we recap all the games and preview the upcoming games and give you all the insight that you need. Pop Goes the Movies, when Scott and Jennifer review the highly anticipated sequel to Stephen King's It. On Laugh-In Theater number 11, Andy welcomes our friend and fellow Patriots fan, Jason Sherman, to live watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Great movie. I remember that from my youth. And lastly, JT joins Tim and Jenny to talk weight loss, religion, and politics on the latest Can't Miss Talkin' Pop. The Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament continues. I vote on this every day. You guys should too. It's awesome. I now have the 80s playlist playing on my Apple Music all the time. There's just a few rounds left. There will be 4 polls a day posted for round 4. You can get in on the action over on Facebook by searching PTPN's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament and liking the page. You can also vote on Twitter on the PTPN main page. Be sure to weigh in. Anything to add there, John?
Who did you vote for? There was a death match today. Jersey versus California. Living on a Prayer versus Sweet Child of Mine.
I voted Living on a Prayer.
I went with Jovi too. The slight edge.
It's and I'm a I like Guns N' Roses more than I like Bon Jovi, but I think that one specific song is a little more. It's just a little more iconic for me. I mean, you think '80s but, hair metal, right? It's Living on a Prayer.
But by hair, there was some death battles. And it's not to disparage the other song. It's just so tough.
A lot of them are real tough. Like, I have trouble choosing between. And a lot of times the one I choose loses. And then I just say, nobody else has good fucking taste.
Mr. Crisco will be proud of you.
All right, now over at the wrestling feed, PTPN wrestling feed. On the fifth episode of the Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, Jenny, and John. Is that you, John?
Yeah, obviously this will be a highly recommended podcast.
They danced their way through three episodes of ECW Hardcore TV from March and April of 1994. So Extreme Three-Way Hardcore. That's kind of what I'm taking away there. Did you have fun doing that one?
That's the second highlight of my week behind this podcast. being able to sit in with the royal king and the royal queen of the Place to Be Nation, I'm very fortunate.
Well, I'm sure they're fortunate to have you, John, and that's what you know. That's why it's a three way, right? All three of you, everybody counts equally. There's no hierarchy there.
That's right. We're co-hosts. Sure. They have to remind me of that.
All right. Next up, main event number 133 previews WWE's Clash of Champions. Then go back to 2002 for the next TNA Classic pay-per-view recap. Then be sure to check out PTBN's Clash of Champions reaction show with Chris Zellner and Devin Hales. Peter Winston and Steve Bennett wrap up their series breaking down their favorite all-time sports seasons on the Adams Division. Sorry, had to cough. Jenny, Matt, Drew, and Scott dip into the Hidden Gems to review Boogie Jam 84 on Jenny and the Gems. On episode 22 of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben Zaney is joined by Cabana Man Dan to talk about his experience in over a decade in the wrestling business plus more. I do listen to that show. Ben does a great job. Really good. Every Wednesday on PlaceToBeNation.com, we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott Criscolo and Logan Crossland have their weekly campus hot takes. Looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups, catch their weekly column every Tuesday afternoon. And finally, if you're doing shopping over at Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the PTBN homepage. It takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message boards at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for more information on joining our Greatest Wrestler Ever pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. Got it.
All right, cowboy.
I thought I was 100% back from being from my illness until I had to read that, and now my throat's all scratchy. So I apologize if the voice sounds a little hoarse. The things we do to promote Place to Be Nation, sacrificing my body to promote Place to Be Nation. All right, so why don't we run down some of the other games, John? Tennessee at Jacksonville, Thursday night. Really has the feel of one of those Thursday night 10-7 kind of games. I like the Titans, though, because of all the turmoil in Jacksonville.
Oh, boy. The Minshew, a six-round draft pick? He's filled in admirably, but eventually I think... I think it's going to be too tough for him. You can't just as a six round draft pick come in and start and play like he does. I think the Titans are going to give him some humble pie this week.
It's true. There's only one sixth round draft pick that I can think of that really came in and kind of got things.
It always comes down to It comes down to your Patriots. Unbelievable.
But in all honesty, he's looked. I think he's looked very. I mean, a lot of six rounders. You throw him in there, and I mean, very dear in the headlights. I mean, he looks like he's capable. But Tennessee's a tough team, and it's really like the stuff with Ramsey. I feel like they're like a team in disarray again.
And yeah, you called it Marone is supposed to be this disciplinarian, and his boss is Coughlin, of course. I don't know why he would come back for this for a team like this, because you got some wild cards in that team.
If they quit on him, you got to get rid of the. I mean, you can't get rid of all the players, right? So they quit on him last year. You got to cut bait and try something else. My opinion only, but we'll see. Coughlin is as we know, not known for giving in to his players. So we'll see what happens. Cincy at Buffalo. Buffalo 2-0. Buffalo Bills. You think they're for real?
Well, they're a nice, easy schedule at the beginning of the year is for real. And then, you know, they got a break in the schedule. Very, very rare you get to play your first two games on the road in the same stadium. And they came through with two victories. So before you know it, you beat easy teams on the schedule, and then you think you could beat anybody. So, and all you got to do is win a couple tough games, and they could sneak into that wild card. So yeah, I do think they're for real. They're well coached. I like McDermott a lot.
And Josh Allen. I like Josh Allen. You watch him, I mean, he's still not super accurate. He makes some poor throws, but kid is tough as nails. And he's like, he reminds me of Newton. I think I've said this on here before. He reminds me of like Cam when Cam was younger. Like he just, like he's like the one quarterback where when he takes on the linebacker, like you kind of feel bad for the linebacker. And he's doing enough to win. He's doing enough to win. The guys rally around him. I think that John Brown signing was kind of under the radar, but has really given him a weapon.
Yeah, and they have a decent running game. Gore still got a little in the tank, and Singletary,
yeah, he only carries
a few times a game, but he seems to he hits a couple home runs when he gets in there.
Yep. So I like them to take care of business against Cincinnati. This is one of those like trap games a little bit, but I like them to. I do like them to take care of business against Cincinnati on the strength of their defense. Cincinnati's offense has looked pretty good. Their defense has been really, really bad. So I think Buffalo's offense is never going to set the world on fire, where you know score 40 points or anything. So it's going to be on Buffalo's D to keep the Natty's offense down. I think they're up to the task at home. So I like the Bills.
Yeah, me too.
Miami
not much debate there, yeah.
Miami at Dallas.
That's not much.
Is what it is.
Yeah. But Dallas has been very impressive.
They look great. You won't learn anything this week. They should just hope to not have anybody get hurt. I mean, I can't even talk about the Dolphins. They're such an abomination, so we'll just move on. Denver at Green Bay is a fairly good game. Denver, a hard luck 0-2. They had that game, and I feel like it kind of got taken from them. I know you feel the same way with one of the worst roughing the passer calls I've ever seen. I don't think Trubisky was making up that 15 yards. We'll talk about them when we talk about Chicago. But going into Green Bay, Green Bay's 2-0. I don't think it's been like a super impressive 2-0. Like they still have their flaws. But I think in Green Bay, I think they get it done. I kind of it wouldn't completely shock me if Denver pulled this upset, but I think in Green Bay, they'll win a close game. What do you think?
No, I don't think it's going to be that close. I've been very impressed with the Packers' defense to win right out the gate, to win two division games, and it was fueled by their defense. I've been very impressed. I don't think this is going to be close.
Their defense has been good. Their offense hasn't been that good.
They
have played.
Away, yeah.
I mean, Chicago and Minnesota both have great defenses. Denver's got a really good defense, too. So we'll see. Atlanta at Indy. Another interesting game. Indy's a real interesting team because I mean, I think a lot of people kind of just threw dirt on them after Luck retired. But they all the reasons that you thought that they could potentially, with him, be like a Super Bowl contender, they're all still there except for him, and Brissett's been fine. Nice win they got against Tennessee. They really needed that win, but that's not an easy win on the road. Now they have Atlanta coming to town. I feel like this is the kind of game where everyone and their brother's going to pick the Falcons. But I don't think the Falcons are going to win this game. I like the Colts at home. And I like them, I think by double digits. I think by double digits. The Falcons, that was a nice win the Falcons had. But they still, it wasn't like a, again, I don't, they didn't super impress me. And I think the Colts are going to be able to run the ball down their throat. That's my prediction.
I'm going to agree with you. The Falcons are, can thank Nelson Algohor for not being 0-3 after this week.
You like the Colts as well. All right, John, we're doing a lot of agreeing here.
Yeah, it's like the Falcons D. Once again, you got to stop them. They stopped them, but geez, not without almost giving the game.
They tried to give it away.
Yeah.
But and I mean, they were way up in that game, and they let them back in by not being able to stop them. And Wentz played a good game, so we don't want to take anything away from him. But, I mean, they were within a hair of not winning that game. I mean, that
Yeah, the greatness of Julio Jones.
Yeah, and it was a great check by Matt Ryan. You got to give him credit for he saw the blitz and he checked to that play. So, and they executed it well. But Julio is the man. He's a great player.
Yeah, he made a play a catch better than that. To get him a big first down.
The one thing with their defense is they do have Jones back, and he's really, really good, but it still seems like he can move the ball on them. Oakland at Minnesota. I like the Vikings. Probably goes
yeah,
without,
there's
goes
a
without
lot
saying.
Of blah games this week. That's not much to. I don't see the Raiders going in there. Although. Another QB issue with Cousins. Trying to bring him back versus the Packers. Threw the ball into triple coverage. Just a horrific interception.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know Cousins. He probably won't have to worry too much this week. He might not even have to pass.
Yeah.
Their running game has looked phenomenal.
Dalvin Cook has been tremendous. The first game... Cousins only had to pass like 10 times.
10 times.
Less than 100 yards. And yeah.
Even against the Packers, they ended out down early. And that's
but Cook brought him back. But then when they needed one more touchdown, Cousins throws into triple coverage. And it wasn't even like there was still plenty of time. It was just a horrific throw.
Agreed. With all that said, I don't think the Raiders' offense is going to be able to do anything against that defense, especially in Minnesota. So. Should be I think an easy win for the Vikings. Detroit at Philadelphia. So the Lions could move to with Patricia looking to move to 2-0-1.
The undefeated Lions. The undefeated Lions. That'll be the last time I say that probably ever.
You don't think they can give Philly a game? I think they're going to give him a little bit of a game. I'll tell you why. Philly's secondary.
Yeah,
sneaky awful, and the Lions. Stafford's actually been playing well, and they have good receivers. They have guys who can get open against
Galladay and that big tight end Hockenson could give Philly some problems. Sure.
Yeah, Marvin Jones is a good receiver too. Who he has like three or four blow up games a year. Usually, this could be one of those.
Yeah, but I think it's just.
But I think Philly's going to win.
It was one game at home where Fatricia's defense came through. Although Slay might be emerging as a potential Pro Bowl cornerback.
Oh, he's really good, but
especially with all these cornerbacks going crazy and acting like Divas and acting for a trade. So you know,
but against Philly, it's like having that shutdown corner isn't as helpful as it is against other teams because who the hell are they going to put him on? Do you know what I mean? So he's gonna follow Aguilar around. Is that really, you know, Ertz is really the main weapon.
Yeah, but the Deshaun Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey too, if they're healthy.
Jackson's out for 2 weeks, they said. And Jeffrey, I don't think, is going to play. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, but Philly will spread it around. I think they'll get it done.
I haven't seen much. I thought he was impressive in preseason, but he hasn't done much yet, that Ortega. He
hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
But he's like a throw it up to him big guy. Carolina at the Cardinals. Most likely Kyle Allen will be starting for the Panthers. With all that said, the Cardinals' defense is an abomination. And I really like Murray. I think the offense is fun to watch. I love how he's like made Larry Fitz get 100 yards a week again. It's fantastic. I love Larry Fitz. But
Arizona hasn't been as bad as I thought.
No, just their defense. Their defense is really, really bad.
Yeah, but even versus Baltimore, 23 points, they hung in there.
They did. Carolina is going to, without Cam, is going to go on the road and win this game. You heard it here first. It's I'm taking my last stand with the Panthers. Christian McCaffrey.
They can avoid 0-3. I'm gonna have to agree with you there. I think Arizona played a great game versus Baltimore just to lose 23-17. So I think they're gonna take a step back this week, and the Panthers experience is gonna get them.
And the expectations are kind of an important thing. The Cardinals are kind of expected to not be very good this year, and the Panthers. They have to play with a big sense of urgency. They know their whole season's on the line, right? If they lose this game,
yeah, you can't go on
through. That's pretty much a wrap. So I like the Panthers. Giants at Bucks. We talked a little about this one. I'm going to surprise you here. I am going to take the Giants. I think the Giants are going
to
go in there and win.
Don't try to make it feel good.
I'm not. You can check my pick sheet with the. Do you do the picks?
I refrained. I saved my picks for the main event.
Well,
right here.
I was your weekly winner last week. I got the most right, and I submitted my picks yesterday, and I submitted the New York Giants as the winner of this game.
Congrats, Notre Dame. You're gonna have to take one on the chin there. I think, like I stated earlier, Bowles defense is gonna shut down Mr. Jones.
I don't think it's going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I think Jameis is going to give it up a little, and I think I'm kind of feeling it with Jones. You know, I mean, he gets a win, gets everybody pumped up. I'm telling you.
He was playing.
There's always a couple of these road games. Tampa Bay sucks. They're not a good team, right?
I'm telling you, Shaq Barrett, their defense is very improved. Their defense is improved. I can't say I'm not going to going out on a limb because I can only trust Jameis so much. But their defense is improved, and Jones, you saw in the exhibition, he played against guys that are probably listening to this show right now as they're driving their Uber or Lyft, guys that are delivering pizza. He played an exhibition against guys that aren't in the NFL right now.
If he can do anything at all to make teams respect the pass, you have the best running back in football. I mean, the guy just needs a little bit of space. So
I do like his mobility, and also Sherman's gonna open up some plays for him. But also he's gonna do a lot of running and keeping plays alive. He's gonna be susceptible to injury. So. I have a feeling
maybe Eli comes in and closes it out.
We might see him. We might see Eli once more before he goes off into the sunset.
But anyway, I think it'll be an inspired performance by the G-men, and they'll get it done.
Oh boy!
Pittsburgh at San Francisco. We talked a little about this one. I like San Francisco in this one. Big.
We stated the Steelers.
Mason Rudolph on the road.
The Steelers going to avoid the 0-3. The 0-3 death knell.
Saints at Seahawks. We talked a little about this one, too. I think it's really asking a lot for Teddy Bridgewater to go into Seattle and win in his first start. But I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Seattle got a nice break, as we stated earlier, with the schedule. And they're going to go to a 3-0 start, I think. Sure.
And then lastly, Chicago at Washington on the Monday night piss break game.
Boy.
I mean, if you're, it's kind of two like shitty Monday night games in a row, but I guess I like Chicago just because I don't like Washington, but nothing good there.
Well, Chicago had a breakthrough with that game. They got a break from with that shitty roughing the passer call. But what did it lead to? It led to something we mocked in our season preview. But Eddie Pinheiro comes through with a big kick.
We didn't mock him.
We mocked them
for blaming their whole thing on the kicker. So now they have a good kicker. This kid can kick. Let's see what it does for him.
That's what I'm saying. Now there's no more excuses because all in the off season, you know, all idiot Bears fans, and not all guys. Our Bears fans are the greatest. Timmy Slomka, Willie, and Justin Pratt. All guys are the greatest. But most idiot Bears fans, they're probably calling up talk radio and saying, "Oh, if it wasn't for that Cody Parkey, we'd be winning the Super Bowl and eating deep dish pizza at Lou Malnati's." You know, they blame everything on Cody Parkey. So now this is a good thing. Pinheiro, they don't have a kicking problem anymore. But guess what? Now the pressure is on Nagy and Trubisky, because who did Trubisky get taken ahead of?
Oh yes, I know. Yeah, Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes, they traded up for him.
Thank you. So now they can't blame it on their kicker anymore. The kicking situation is all shored up. Pinero's good to go. So now the onus is going to be on Nagy and a lot of pressure on Trubisky. Now we'll see how he handles it, because now they can be hearing how, you know, they took him ahead of Watson and Mahomes. You know, every time he struggles, it's going to hear it, and the pressure is going to build. So
yeah,
we'll see, but
this is a big stretch
in the games.
This is a big stretch they have coming up. It wouldn't shock me if Washington won this game. I mean, Chicago's offense has been awful. I mean, I think it's the worst offense in the whole NFL. But it's probably not going to happen. But they better win, because they do. They have four home games in a row after that. But they're not easy games except for one. So they have Minnesota, Oakland, the Saints, and the Chargers. So, I mean, that's a tough little stretch. Then they're at Philly the next week.
That's not that tough. They should go 3-1 in that stretch. And But here, Washington's defense has also been pretty bad. So it's going to be
real bad.
It's going to be the resistible force versus the movable object.
I was just
going to
say that, man. You just stole, we're so on the same wavelength. It's beautiful.
But I look for the defense, the Bears defense, to ding up Keenum and get some turnovers off him.
There you go. You might have a Dwayne Haskins sighting.
Yeah.
Probably don't want to bring him into this game. Right. Welcome to the NFL. Here's Khalil Mack.
Yeah, the Bears defense gonna keep him in things.
But it's gonna be a good week, John. I'm happy I was able to come back and then do this with you. It's my favorite thing to do during the week. We'll 100% be back next week to see how all these all our picks played out. See how the games played out. Like John said, don't take too much stock in our picks. We win some, we lose some. It is what it is, right? You know,
it's more fun.
You're not going to hit a home run if you don't swing.
It's more fun to make fun of shitty picks. Nobody likes the guy that says, "Oh, I told you so," and "I called it." Nobody likes that guy.
Man, that's like a little dig because I did that earlier, huh?
the I told you so guy. Yeah, the I called it guy.
He's taking shots at me. It's all right. It's all right. Nobody likes a winner. So
everybody likes to make fun of my shitty picks. once again, I put the whammy on the Steelers and the Saints.
That's right. You picked the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl, right?
And the Saints within like 30 seconds, and both on like a same type play, following through on a throw.
All right, so this like personal attack you just made, that's really misplaced anger. It's misplaced anger. I won't take offense.
Yeah, how about those Panthers?
Agreed. Hey, I can take it. It was a bad call. It was a bad call, and they happen. You're going to make some bad calls, but that one will probably be the gift that keeps on giving all year. You'll be able to fall back on that. If my head gets too big, you can just say you picked the Panthers to go to the NFC title game.
The defense is going to step up this week. Eric Reed's going to make a couple big plays. So.
That's our guy. It's our guy, Eric. All right. So, folks, thanks so much for listening. As always, feel free to reach out to John and I either in the chats or individually, talk some football, or if you want to give us some questions for the show, or if you'd like to come on the show, we're good with that too. So just let us know. But until next time, for Mr. D'Amato, I'm the Cowboy, getting them out of here.
Okay.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.